You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm one of the co-hosts of this wonderful show. On today's podcast, we have the Aaron Holiday player review. A couple quick, I guess, scheduling mishap notes. So on Friday, Tony and I had a miscommunication, and he accidentally tweeted that the Aaron Holiday podcast was on Friday. It actually comes out right now on this Monday. Last Friday was the Wes Matthews podcast. Check that out. Check out all our player reviews. We fit pretty much every major player in the Pacers except for some of the back bench guys, which would come later this week. At some point this week, you will hear a wonderful draft preview podcast. Tony and I recorded that actually on Sunday just for the week, and we're going to post it, I guess, some point either between Tuesday and Thursday. The dates in it, let's just say, are a little bit messed up. We kind of tried to figure out what day we're going to post it on the air. Whatever it is, when you listen to it, it'll be great. Just ignore the dates on it. Not a big deal. You know, if something major breaks, we'll do a different podcast, but when you catch that weekly show kind of draft preview, just ignore when we say, oh, post it on Wednesday or Thursday. But we will be with you guys on draft night. So we're going to record probably starting at the 14th, 15th pick and wrap around the 20th pick, assuming there's no trades with the Pacers, obviously. And we'll put that podcast up immediately of draft night. That is Thursday the 20th. So check that out if you're watching the draft and you want to get some Pacer content right away. We'll give that to you hopefully by about 11 Eastern. I said 10:30. I just don't know how long the draft will go, what time they'll pick at. But it will be available that night at least. If not, you can catch it the next morning when you wake up on Friday. That'll be our Friday show. And then the following week will be, once again, all 5 days, just like we were this week, for free agency preview. We will again do a kind of show. We'll post that night on free agency night, which is June 30th at 6 p.m. is when that starts. So we'll also post a podcast then that night for the following day as well. But you'll hear more about that when we get to that podcast in about, what, weird. This is the 17th, so in 13 days. But without further ado, let's get right to the Aaron Holiday podcast. So unlike, I guess, my co-host, I'm a big, big believer in Aaron Holiday. I thought he had a fantastic kind of, I guess he played in 50 games, but, you know, probably 20, 30 meaningful games run with the Pacers. He showed some real signs of, like, he could be probably a starting point guard. I mean, he had a 19-point game. He came out of the gate with, like, five straight double-digit games. Somewhere in, he had a 17-point game in the season. I mean, he had just some quality games this year where I thought he showed true potential to sort of be the Pacers' probably backup point guard next year, maybe even compete for the starting guard, depending who it is. Obviously, they make a trade for a big-name guy, but, like, compete for 20, 25 minutes, and by that third or fourth year be the starting point guard of the team and play next to Vic. Now, with the 18th pick, which is where, or no, sorry, 22nd pick where he was taken last year, it didn't really matter if he was going to be a starter or not. Just with that pick, you want to get a guy who can be in your rotation, and I thought he definitely proved that. I hope he's given some opportunities this offseason to really play with the starters, play in important minutes, you know, flourish with them in spring training, and then sort of, or not spring training, fall training, off-season training, whatever you want to call it, flourish with them, and then be given an opportunity to play big minutes in the regular season, whether that's 15, 20 per game for 70, 75 games, maybe we're even talking 25 game. I want to see him kind of maybe slot into a little bit of like a Lance Stephenson role, the way Tyreek played last year, you know, those kind of minutes. I think he'd be a good fit for that. I'd see him play with Vic some, play with Sabonis, if on the roster, still play with Turner. Just a little bit of everything to see where he plays better with, who he played better with, who can play off the ball with. I think he's a fantastic three-point shooter. I know his percentage was very bland. He shot, ended up shooting 34% on about 2.5 attempts per game. But I think once he plays more consistently and is more in the flow of the game, he will become a better three-point shooter. I think he's the kind of guy where the more he plays, the better he'll get. And that's why I was a big proponent of him becoming the, basically when Oladipo got hurt, them not bringing Wes Matthews, because I thought Holiday could really add value to the team and you could develop him and that'd be good for the long run because you're going nowhere next year anyways. This season, I'd say like the top highlight, obviously, a couple to pick from, but the two ones have got to be when he came in for Vic basically in that Atlanta game and shot 3 of 4 from three at 12 points and basically was kind of the damage maker in that game. And then immediately following that Utah game in November where he had 19-7 and 7, I believe. I mean, he was just – he might have been the best player on the court that night against Utah. They had no Vic. It didn't matter. They just crushed the Jazz. Other highlights, the other big game I would say for him is when he played against the Lakers when they blew him out. He had another 17 points. You know, that game he might have kind of – been there during garbage time. That was right when the Lakers were going to trade all their players, which they ended up doing actually about 2 days ago anyways. But Holiday had those were kind of the big moments. And those were the moments that I thought flashed and showed me, oh, this guy could possibly be a rotation guy for the Pacers. Things I really liked from him were, one, his three-point volume compared to total shots. So he was taking about half his shots from three, which I thought is kind of a good sign. He's got to keep that up, obviously. But I think that's what the Pacers need more of. They need more guys who are willing to take a ton of threes. I mean, you look at his like percent of field goal by distance. I mean, you're looking at basically all his shots were three-point shots, and the next highest was within 3 feet. He was one of these kind of efficient players, I guess the right way to put it, the kind of player who doesn't take a ton of mid-range twos. That's the player the Pacers need more of, simply because they're a team that likes to play old-school ball. That's sort of the Nate McMillan style of, like, let's take the open two and just take it and make it a 45-50% clip. And that, I think, is a regular season thing that works, but in the postseason, teams can scheme for you. They don't give you those same open twos the way you would get. And if you aren't a good shooting team or a team that can shoot high-volume threes and just kind of keep almost out-mathing them in a way, that's the way the Rockets do, where they just shoot so many threes that, obviously, they haven't won the title yet, so it's, but, like, they shoot so many threes that the math plays in their favor against most teams, except the Warriors, obviously. Other things I liked from him, I thought he had some, he showed some signs of being an okay passer. He had a couple high assist games. I don't know if his vision is great in terms of just because of his size. I think he could use a little more refining that skill. His assist to turn ratio was about 2 to 1, which Collison, by example, I think was 4.3 2 years ago. I'm not sure what it was last year. I think it was in the 3.5 range. Being able to finish in at the rim, something he could definitely improve on. He wasn't okay around that area, but wasn't top level or top notch per se. He had about a 60%. I mean, that's okay considering his volume. He probably took one a game around the rim, but if he's going to, you know, take 3 or 4 around the rim, he could, you know, if he's going to take one per game, he needs to be shooting that more like in this closer to 70. But if he's going to take three, that's a good shoot, a good percentage for 3 or 4 a game, but not necessarily for the one a game he took around there. Elsewhere, I mean, obviously, defensively, he wasn't the best player. I think part of that is just because he was kind of like the first guy off the bench in terms of somebody got hurt, so he didn't get a lot of time to play with starters and or with any kind of guys big minutes and learn defensive principles. You know, I think a little bit of defense and being good at defense is one, understanding the players around you, which is hard to do when you're a rookie, and is also, you know, the routine of playing with those guys. So, like, even a guy, Darren Collison, who isn't the best defender, knows how to make a steal at the right moment, knows when to kind of jump the lane because he plays with Vic and Thad so much that he kind of learned, you know, he can make this move and this guy will back him up. Or, like, this is a really famous thing that Paul George used to do, where he would play really up on guys because he had such long arms, and that he knew if a guy got by him, he'd force him into Hibbert, who would then either block the shot or force the guy to kick it out, and Paul could recover out to the shooter. And for guards, really, with Holiday, it's just about being a guy who can make enough plays defensively to be on the court. I'm talking like steals or, you know, can match up against certain guys. You know, he's not going to be this, like, awesome defender simply because he's only 6'1". He does have long arms. That should help. I think he has a 6'6", 6'7", wingspan. Better than Collison's, is not that long. But he's never going to be the superb, like, one-on-one defender. But if he can be a guy who can put pressure on a double team on the ball, kind of the way Steph does, he can make the occasional steal here, jump the right play, can learn how to play with guys like Vic and Turner, who are two really, really good defensive players. I mean, Vic, last time he was healthy, was first team all defense, and Turner finished third team all defense. There's no category 13, but he would have been third team all defense. So there is, you know, there's that opportunity where he just has to learn how to play with them. Because when you have two superb defensive players, you don't have to be the best defender but yourself. You just have to pick your spots. And then offensively, he just has to become, I think he's got to figure out how to push in on that 3-point shot. So he took a lot of 25 footers, I would say. I mean, a lot of Holiday's shots were, you know, he'd run off a screen, he'd be farther away, and he'd take this kind of long three and short it. He's got to figure out how to shrink that and to get, you know, more on the line threes, whether that is figuring out how to get around a screen tighter in a way, the team setting screens at a little lower, how to run more precise off-ball movements, picking his spots a little bit better. I mean, things like that. Like, the thing about Holiday, he's never going to be able to become, I don't think, like, the elite of elite offensive players, because he's going to be limited by his height and his size, and he's going to be bullied around the rim a lot, and he's going to be good, you know, good defenders are going to pick on him, right? But when you play against a guy like Vic, next to a guy like Vic, you're not going to have the best defender on you. You know, they might even hide guys on Holiday in a way, and that gives Holiday a real opportunity to sort of just, you know, roam around the perimeter, keep constantly be moving off ball to get, you know, dink and dunk layups or, you know, nice open threes in the corner. And that's what he's got to do. He's got to figure out, if he's not going to be the center of attention defense, how to get himself open. And then he's got to hit those shots at a high clip. But it's about getting in those spots. You know, if he gets in the corner threes, he's going to make that a much higher rate, and he's going to improve that three-point percentage than he would if he took the shot from 25 feet, you know, off the dribble. You know, he has some opportunities to be a really – he's got a very clean and quick shot. So he has some opportunities to just be a good offensive player from that alone. But to become like – I mean, I'm talking even Collison-level offensive elite. He's got to cut down on the turnovers, obviously, and he's got to pick his spots like the way Collison did. Collison, you know, I would say 2 years ago was kind of the model for what you want out of Aaron Holiday. If he is 2017-18 Collison, which is a guy who was probably borderline top 10 point guard offensively, if that he's that way for 4 or 5 seasons, that's a really good player that can start. I mean, if he's below that, he's probably still a bench guy, and there's a floor, obviously, he becomes like, if he can't get his 3-point percentage in 38 range, he can't get his shooting percentage in like the 44, 45 range, then he might not be ever able to play any minutes for the Pacers ever. But, you know, I'm pretty high on him. I like where he is right now. I think he'll get a ton of opportunity, hopefully, next year. Even if they bring in somebody, I feel like, you know, they'll bring in a big dollar guy, which will, like Mike Conley, and they'll have to play Holiday because they'll need some of those low salary guys to fill up minutes. But I like the spot he's in currently with the Pacers. I think there's a real opportunity to grow into a player of some real potential. And that's what I want to talk about next. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to talk about his potential with the Pacers next season. All right, welcome back in. So next year, I see Holiday's role as something like this. He starts off the season on a probably 18 to 20 minute kind of run. So I'm assuming the Pacers are going to bring in some kind of big free agent, whether that's at shooting, small forward, like I'm talking like auto, like big dollar, maybe not big like top 10, but like big dollar. So it's like an Otto Porter at small forward or a Mike Conley at point guard. So that means they're going to basically be shrunk into like 6 guys. So I'm thinking like the roster theoretically next year, in my opinion, will be something like you're looking at like Mike Conley, Oladipo, Bojan, Thad, Turner, Sabonis. That's like your 6, and that's kind of who you're stuck with. Keeping Thad and Bowen might not even be an option. You might have to pick one. But keeping those 6 feel like that's kind of your 6, and then you're trying to piece together that 7 and 8. So McDermott might be a 7. I'm not convinced yet, but we'll see. Holiday is the 8th guy, right? So he'll play a lot with Sabonis. He'll play a lot of these weird lineups where you'll see Vic playing some minutes with them. You might see Conley playing some minutes because they might stagger them. You'll see Sabonis on the court, maybe with a Thad or a Leaf or whatever. And so we'll have to kind of really have to thrive in sort of a pick-and-roll style, either with Sabonis or playing off-ball like I took a Vic or Conley with Sabonis, right? So playing 18, 20 minutes, being a good off-ball, like I said, roamer kind of guy who can get open and drain threes, can stretch the floor at times. And then as he gets better at that, he can inch his way into the starter. So, you know, I think there's a possibility, especially if they bring in a guy like Conley. You got 2 kind of 6'3", 6'4", guards with Conley and Oladipo. You could try to go 3 guards at times. You could try to go line up with Holiday at the kind of 1 per se because of his 3-point shooting. You know, if he can get that 3-point percentage into the 40, close to 40, he will be able to play himself onto the court in a way and force McMillan to play him, because if he can hit a 3-point shot at that rate, that's going to be huge for this team to kind of stretch the floor, especially if they bring back Bojan and try to go like, I'm talking really unique where you go like really no defense and all offense or whatever it is. Even with that, you get a little bit of a stretch. Or if you want to bring in 3 guards and then bring in some bonus to turn. I mean, you know, these are unique lineups that probably won't be played all the time. But I definitely could see Holiday starting at that 18, 20-minute mark, proving himself by becoming a good shooter, having some just new offensive tools because he learned whatever it is, kind of after his 50 games, and obviously he's learned kind of what he needs to do. Maybe a brother teaches him a little bit of stuff to do in the offseason as well. And then he inches away from maybe 20 to 22 to 24 minutes per game and really becomes kind of a rotation player, a guy you can rely on. in the playoffs, and is a guy the Pacers rely on in a first round series to maybe win a second round series. Maybe he plays bigger minutes here because they load management of Victor Oladipo, maybe only play 70 games, or he gets some opportunities to start. Whatever it is, that's what I could see Holiday doing next year. You maybe would be impressed and not impressed at moments. Sometimes it's like, oh, this guy is really good, and it's like, oh, this guy's a disaster on the court. It's up and downness, but a way where his ups are really are NBA like quality player high, and his lows are like maybe he shouldn't play all these minutes high lows, but they're not like this year where his high was like, eh, he's borderline should play minutes, and his low is like he can't be on the court, get him off. Then after that, we maybe see in his third season, he really start to be kind of the point guard off the bench. You know, I keep saying this, and I think they're going to go after a guy like Conley, for example, who has 2 years on his contract, right? So, like, Holiday's starting point guard year will be that fourth year, his fourth season. So 2 years of next year of kind of a semi-backup. Third year is the real backup, you know, go-to point guard off the bench. Maybe he's the bench offensive leader. He's the sixth man, depending still on the roster. Is he like a Sabonis for sixth man or whatever it is? And then in his third season, and he really kind of makes you think, should he be the starting guard? And maybe he wins the spot or something like that, depending on who's at that point guard spot. Then his fourth year, he is the starting point guard next to a re-signed Vic with Turner at center and whatever pieces else fit around, whether Sabonis at that point can play four or whatnot, you know, whatever. That's kind of too far ahead. Now, the other side of this, which I have kind of haven't tried to talk about or been being around, is if they trade for Conley, is Holiday in that trade? And that's the real question, right? Is Holiday's ultimate value with the team next year not being on the team, but being in Memphis, being maybe in New Orleans, maybe being in another city, whatever it is, to be the guy that gets traded for? And that's a real possibility with this team, that they just say, nah, we like your potential, Holiday, but we see an opportunity to get a real guy. Now, I would hope they get Mike Conley, they could do it too first. You know, if I'm the Pacers, I'm thinking, I want to keep Holiday because I want to keep as many guys who can play minutes because you're going to need 7 or 8 to really compete in the playoffs. And if they go get Conley, they're going to have to sacrifice Corey Joseph and Darren Collins at the minimum and probably one of Bojan at that. So they're going to be down to like 6 guys, basically. So to me, that's kind of like, if you can avoid getting any players in that trade, I would do that. Now, maybe get McDermott to get a salary back, and then you can go and get another guy to sign. That's maybe where the move is. Or you can have 6 guys. But if you can do it for 2 first, and really if you do it for 2 first and dub McDermott, that's like the ideal trade, right? You give away 2 first, McDermott, you're basically able to make back $7 million. So then it leaves you with about 18 in space. So maybe you can bring in, well, you probably still can't fit Bowen at that end of that. They get still a little dicey. So maybe you can fit, maybe you can fit Bowen at that end of that, and then you have a top 6 and Holiday's a 7. That's, I don't know, with about $18 million, you're kind of on that border of can you bring in both that and Bojan back. So, but that's kind of the ideal to me, is that Holiday is the 7th guy and they find somebody else to be the 8th, and that's kind of how you do it. I mean, maybe Lance, the first time you hear that on this podcast, on this network since last season, maybe Lance is the 8th guy on that team. But yeah, so that's kind of the option I see for Holiday. I would love to see him on the Pacers next year, because I do think he has some real potential, but I don't think he has the potential where, like, if we can get Mike Conley or even like a Drew Holiday, we're not going to give him up. Plus, if he has a really good year next year, they don't trade him this year, that else could be traded again the following offseason, because they're in this window. Like I said, I've said it in podcasts before, they're in a 2-year window where they need to prove to Vic over his next year that they are going to be competitive year in and year out for the last few prime years of Vic's career. You know, Vic's 29, 30, 31 season. They need to prove to him that we're going to still be really good these years. So whether it's bringing in a guy to prove really good, or maybe Holiday, fortune, whatever, but like they can't get stuck in the way they did with Turner, where they decided Turner is our future. Paul George, while we think should be on the team, coming on the team, we're not going to sacrifice our future to make Paul George happy in the moment. Kuminashi is going to stay. I think Vic is probably going to stay. I mean, I think there's a real trust between Vic and the front office, the way it seemed for the past couple of years. They bet on him by bringing him in, trading for Paul George. I feel like he feels that and understands that, and there's a real connection between the fans and Vic in a way where he's owned this city, and it feels like if he was to leave, it would feel weird. I mean, he could do it. I mean, any other player can do it, but it would feel odd if he left, because after the kind of what he claimed the city 2 years ago for himself after the PG trade. But if he would leave if he didn't think the team had any future. So you just got to prove to him that the team is heading in the right direction. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on Aaron Holiday. Tweet at this podcast at Locked On Pacers. Tweet at me at FreedomAdam5. Like I said, we'll have like 4 more podcasts this week. One of those days will be the draft preview. I don't know what day it's going to be on. We haven't figured that out yet. We recorded it already. We haven't figured out what day we're going to post it. Ignore just all the dates we said in that podcast in terms of Thursday, Wednesday, next day, tomorrow. Ignore that. Just know that you got this player preview today. You'll have a draft preview someday this week. And then the other three podcasts will be a Kyle Quinn player review, an Alize Devon Reed player review combined together. And then you'll have a Friday, guaranteed Friday show will be the post-draft show. But that show will be posted on the evening of the draft, probably around 10:30, 11 o'clock Eastern time. We will finish recording after about the 20, 21st, 22nd picks. So whatever time that is, wait about 15, 20 minutes after that, and the podcast will be up. That is all for this Locked On Pacers podcast. I appreciate all you guys do for us, staying with us. Have a great rest of your day.